chapter 1. We're just going to spend a little bit of time looking at the Word together this morning as we conclude our time. Hope you enjoyed reflecting on what happened that weekend almost 2,000 years ago and considering the impact that it should have for us and the opportunity that we have to praise the Lord for that. You know, as I was thinking about the fact of the resurrection this week and Easter and the celebration that we have year after year, the question that kept coming up in my mind was, you know, really, what difference does the resurrection make? And I was thinking about that from kind of two different perspectives. One is, what difference does it make? Why did it have to happen from a theological point of view? Why did Jesus have to be raised from the dead? As a couple of people referred to the verse in 1 Corinthians where Paul does say that if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. Why is that? But also, what difference does the resurrection make in the sense of what should it do to our lives? How should our lives be different as a result of the resurrection of Christ? And as I was thinking about that this week and looking at different verses that discuss that, I kept coming back to the book of Acts. You know, the book of Acts describes the beginning of the early church, and it describes for us the apostles' lives post-resurrection. You know, before the resurrection, you can see the apostles in the Gospels. You can see guys like Peter and see the struggles that they had and the challenges that they had. You can see them in the midst of that week leading up to the crucifixion. You know, Peter in all his glory denying Christ and those things that week. You know, you see them after the death of Christ as they're all huddled together in a room together, wondering what on earth is going to happen, as the women come and they respond and they tell them what had happened and a couple of the guys go and look at the tomb and those things. Yes, but there's a totally different view of the apostles presented in the book of Acts. And I think the reason for that is the resurrection. Yes, the resurrection totally transformed the lives of the apostles. And it totally put all the pieces together for them as to what Christ had been teaching them for the years leading up to his death. Look at how Acts begins in chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach." This is the continuation of the Gospel of Luke is what he's referring to. And he says, he goes on, verse 2, "Until the day when he was taken up into heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen." Look what it says, verse 3. "To these he also presented himself." Who's the "these" there? It's the apostles from verse 2, right? It says, "To the apostles he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." You ever thought about that? The fact that for 40 days after Jesus rose, he stayed on earth and he appeared to the apostles on numerous occasions and he taught them about the kingdom of God prior to his going back into heaven. Ever wonder why 40 days? I kind of think things like that sometimes. I'm like, why? I read that and wonder why. Why do you think Jesus stayed for over a month? You know, wasn't he kind of excited to get back to heaven? That would be me. I'm like, I just died. I did what I'm supposed to do. I'm alive. Let's get back to heaven. Not that I don't like earth and all, but I'm ready to go home. You know, but he stayed. And this verse gives us a couple of reasons. One, it says he appeared by many convincing proofs appearing to them over a period of 4 days. So the picture is that he appeared on multiple occasions to them with convincing evidence that he was, in fact, risen. Why? Because it was really important that the apostles understood and believed that Jesus was risen. Right? Jesus knew, if these guys don't really understand and believe the fact that I'm risen, this train's not going anywhere. It's vital for them to understand that. And it says that he was speaking of the things concerning the kingdom. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there for that short little class that Jesus taught on the kingdom post-resurrection? Who knows what he was teaching them exactly, but I think we find out as we go throughout the book of Acts. Okay, so Jesus, after he rose, he was committed to the fact that the disciples, the apostles, must believe these events and they must understand these events. And they got that. They witnessed there in chapter 1 the fact that Christ went up to heaven, he ascended. Chapter verse 9, one of my favorite verses, verse 11, sorry. After Jesus had gone up into heaven, it says verse 10, actually, they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going. Two men in white clothing stood beside them. You know, so you got all the apostles staring up in the sky, and these two guys are kind of standing there with them, like, oh, what are you guys doing? And they say, and they also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? Like, what are you guys staring at? Why are you just sitting here staring into the sky? You know, this Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. And I think it's like nudging him, like, hey, guys, he's up there. He's coming back sometime. You got some work to do. Let's go. And so they gathered in the upper room to pick an apostle to replace Judas. And notice one of the qualities that they wanted for the apostle. Look at verse 21 of chapter 1. It says, therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all this time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. What'd they want to pick a guy to do? Somebody who could go out and could bear witness of the fact that Jesus was alive. Yes, they understood that that was so important, so central to their message and to their lives. And we see that in chapter 2. You remember that's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes and Peter proclaims with boldness the message of the gospel. And look what he proclaims. Look at verse 22 of chapter 2. He says, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Up to that point, most people were like, yeah, I remember Jesus. He did some weird stuff we couldn't explain. And yeah, I remember that he died. But verse 24, God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. God conquered death. And what's the evidence of that? The fact that Jesus himself could not be held by death's power. He goes on, he quotes from a psalm about David, about how it says in verse 27, he will not abandon his soul to Hades or allow a holy one to undergo decay. It says, verse 29, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he had poured forth this which you both see and hear. Goes on, verse 36 says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. What was Peter's message? It was that Jesus had died, yes, but it was that Jesus had rose from the dead, that Jesus was alive, that he had conquered sin and death, and that because of that, he was the Lord and the Messiah. Because they continued to proclaim that message. Chapter 3, they heal a lame beggar, Peter and John. And as a result, they have the opportunity to stand before the authorities. And in chapter 3, verse 13, Peter is speaking to the people and he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are all witnesses. Yes, that was what the apostles did in the book of Acts. They go about and they are witnesses of the fact that Jesus was alive. You can see it later on in Acts chapter 13, similar incident where Paul is preaching and he proclaims the fact that Christ not only had died, but he rose. In Acts 17, other places as well. Yes, their primary message was not simply that Jesus died, but that Jesus died and that he rose again. It was vital for their message, for their ministry. Why? Well, because the resurrection validates all that Christ had said. It proved that Christ was indeed who he said he was. that he was God, that his death did accomplish all that he said it would accomplish. It was God's certificate of authenticity saying that this death did exactly what these men say it would. The resurrection validated, guaranteed all of those things, and it had a profound impact on their lives as well. Guys, this morning I just want you to leave with an understanding of two things. One, the resurrection should be central to your message, to what you proclaim. You and I should be like the apostles, going out telling people that Jesus is alive. We don't serve a dead Savior. He died for us, but he rose, and because of that, he offers salvation. But I want you to realize not only that the resurrection matters to what you say to people, but it should make a huge difference in how you live. And you see that in the apostles as well. You know, just think of Peter. What's the likelihood of the Peter denying Christ, standing before thousands of people a couple months later and proclaiming a sermon about Christ, and then healing people and being taken into custody, and then saying, you know, you need to stop. And he's like, well, I don't know if it's right for me to not obey you or not, but I'm not going to stop talking about Jesus because he's alive. Just think of the difference in Peter. What happened? Holy Spirit came, yeah, but he also saw the risen Christ. Had a huge impact on his life. Think about Stephen. Look at Acts chapter 7. You remember Stephen? The early martyrs. Called before the council, the high priest. He defends the gospel, and at the end of chapter 7, they get kind of upset with him. In verse 54, it says, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. Not sure exactly what that looks like, but they're not happy, right? They're mad at him, and they're displaying that in their facial expression somehow. But it says, verse 55, but being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. How exactly this happened, don't know the details for sure, but he saw God the Father and Jesus, his risen Lord. And they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. Guys, what an impact the fact that Stephen was convinced that Jesus was alive had on his death, didn't it? The fact of how he treated the people who were stoning him, his attitude as he approached death, what made the difference? It was the fact that Jesus was alive for him. How about Saul in chapter 9? You know, what was the made the difference for Saul? He went from holding the coats of the people that were stoning Stephen in chapter 7. And in chapter 9, it says that Saul was still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Guess what happened to Saul? Was it just the bright light had a big impact on him? No. It was that he encountered who? The risen Christ. Jesus appeared to him. He was convinced that this man Jesus, whom he had perhaps seen or heard of being crucified, this man Jesus is alive. And he is Lord. Because he is alive, it confirms all that he'd said. And what was Saul's response? Did he say, whoa, that was weird. I'm going to go all the more after these crazy nuts and try and stop them. No, he said, this is the Lord. He's alive. I'm going to live my life for him. And the rest of Acts records the impact that that one encounter with the risen Christ had on Saul's life. You guys, he became Paul. He became the apostle who went and proclaimed with as much boldness as anyone the fact that Jesus had risen. Look at Acts 17 real quick. Wrap up. Just to give you one example of Paul's ministry. In Acts 17, he was in Athens proclaiming the gospel to the people there. And look at verse 30 of Acts 17. What is Paul proclaiming? He says, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." What's his message? It's that God is one day going to judge the world through a man, and that man is Christ. And God has guaranteed it how? By raising him from the dead. The fact that Jesus is alive is proof that there's a day coming when that man is going to come and going to judge. And so what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to trust Christ. And the verse 32 says, "Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead," like what? Somebody rose from the dead? "They began to sneer. But others said, 'Wait a minute, we shall hear you again concerning this.'" Yes, that's what Paul was doing. That's what the apostles were doing, is they were going from place to place, people they encountered, and their message was one that Jesus died, yes, but that Jesus died and rose again. Why? Because the resurrection matters. Because if Christ did not raise, his death did not accomplish anything. Yes, but the fact that Christ did raise from the dead, that he is alive, confirms the fact that his death accomplished everything for us. That he conquered sin, he defeated death, that you and I have the hope that we will one day too be raised to an eternity with Christ in heaven. Because it confirms that he was who he said he was, that he is God. It confirms what he said, that what he said would happen indeed did happen, that he kept his word, and that everything he has said that will happen is going to happen. Because the resurrection matters in our life, it should have a huge impact on how we live. Yes, we do not serve a God who is dead, but Jesus is alive. And if you just stop for just 30 seconds and you think about the fact that Jesus died, he rose, he is now in heaven alive, what kind of an impact should that have on your life? Yes, it's pictured in the apostles, isn't it? They went from being timid and fearful to being bold because they had seen and witnessed something that was incredible and changed their life, and they could not help but tell other people about it. Yes, it gave them such boldness, such a lack of fear about death. You know, it's like the worst thing you're going to do is kill me. We've seen how that works, right? What happened to Jesus? You killed him. He's alive. You can kill me, and someday, guess what? I'll be resurrected too. Take your best shot. You guys, why do they have such boldness? It was because Christ had risen. Yes, why do they live for Christ? Why do they serve him? Why do they obey him? Because Jesus is alive. So you guys, the resurrection matters. The resurrection is worth getting together every Sunday and remembering. It's worth setting aside a whole weekend once a year to focus on. Yes, it's so important that it should impact every aspect of our life together. Yes, we are going to sing one more song this morning as we wrap up our time. Don't close up just yet. It's a song called "You Are My King." And it talks about both the death and the resurrection of Christ. As I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, I'm accepted, you were condemned, I'm alive and well, I think because you died and rose again. Maybe there's something else in there. But it's the benefits and blessings that have come to us. Why? Because Jesus died and he rose. And then the response to that is that we respond by living for Jesus, by making him our king. And that's the appropriate response this morning as we consider the death and the resurrection of Christ. And just to urge you as you sing this song to consider, is that true for you? Have you, like the apostles, recognized the fact that Jesus died for you and that he rose again and that alone is your hope for salvation? Is will you trust him today if you've not done so? Will you repent and follow him today if you have not done so? Go ahead and stand up as the music team comes, sings us together.